The chair thanks the Sergeant-at-Arms for the great work that they do. Members, at this point, the chair is not in possession of any amendments to either of the bills that are before the committee today. The chair understands there's probably going to be some proposed amendments on the House floor, which would come tomorrow. So just as an initial matter, as we've done, and everybody's done a great job on, do your best to try to send me your proposed amendments at least a couple of hours before session tomorrow so we can have some time to review them and talk to you about them to try to get some of those issues resolved. With that being said, members, we'll begin today with the Senate Bill 759, the Watauga County Board of Commissioners. We have Senator Heiss here with us today, as well as Representative Pickett. Senator Heiss, the gentleman is recognized, Representative Pickett, the gentleman is recognized as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The predominant part of the bill and the original part of the bill you have deals with the county commissioner districts in Watauga County. This will change them from residential districts to electoral districts, which had to be balanced in population. The drawing of this map was also drawn to ensure that the current elected county commissioners would all be able to serve their entire terms and no one's term would be expanded by, so it goes in 2024 and 2026. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I know Representative Pickett, thankful for his help on this. There is Anson that was added on the floor does the opposite, and there's a resolution for when there's a primary in Johnson County as well.
Members, is there discussion or debate? Representative Harrison, ladies recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Senator Heiss and Representative Pickett. I haven't had a chance to do a deep dive into this, but I think I read in the press that this would split the App State campus. The districts would split the App State campus. Is that accurate?
Yes. Appalachian's enrollment's somewhere over 20,000 now. Watauga County is, as a whole, 55,000. So I do not believe the entire campus could be contained in one equal population district as well.
Hickory campus is not in there either in this map. We'd like to see it grow quite substantially. Representative Harrison, lady continue
just,
to be
just right. A follow-up. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And I guess to clarify, the current situation is that all five county commissioners are elected at large. Is that accurate?
That's correct. They're required to live in districts, but they are elected at large. Okay. And we deal with a lot of concern from a lot of the county for people that don't feel they have a representation because a small geographic area is so dominant that they don't have representation in the outer parts of the county.
Representative Jones.
Yes, sir. As an alumnus of a county commission here in Wake County, I had a couple, three questions I wanted to ask about. One is with both respect to Anson and Watauga respectively. Are these changes changes that the boards respectively wanted.
I'm not aware of any resolution from any board regarding these maps.
Either way. Plus or minus. So what was the, if you mind if I could ask some more questions?
The gentleman is recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you, sir. So what initiated the idea to make these?
I would not be able to comment on the Anson that was amended on the floor by Senator Craven. That is going the opposite direction, however. That is moving from electoral districts to residential districts.
Right.
That's coming in. Watauga County, I've had multiple conversations with both current and former county commissioners in Watauga County who are interested in this, but more importantly from a lot of residents who feel that the predominance of the university and others in the electoral process means that they just aren't represented in the county and in the county elections.
I see. Okay. And the other question I have was with respect to the Anson County one, would these people come from a district run countywide or just come from that district?
So it's my understanding that under the new under the proposal in this bill, they would then run countywide and would come from districts versus currently being in districts they're elected in.
Got it. Okay, thank you. That's all the end of my questions.
Members, is there further discussion or debate on the bill? Representative Harris.
Just real quickly, I apologize. Did you say the piece regarding Johnston County that just relates to a date? So I'm trying to find the substance. I don't know if this packet is for the congressional or for this Watauga.
Johnston County, just respond, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. Johnston County apparently has an unusual provision that says if fewer than six people file for an election, there is no primary. In that, they all just go to the general ballot. This changes that to four. If fewer than four file, it would now be a primary because of the changes that are there, and the local delegation is supportive of that as well.
Members, is there any further discussion or debate? Unless any member objects, the chair just intends to take a voice vote on this particular bill. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, Representative Dixon moves for a favorable report. All those in favor will say aye.
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 All of those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The bill receives a favorable report. Members will now move to the other bill on today's calendar, Senate Bill 757, which of course is the proposed congressional district plan. Senator Heiss will be recognized to speak to the congressional plan. And before we do that, and the chair will just note the process that the chair went over a little bit the other day for drawing the congressional map, and that is that the House leadership and chairs worked on the map filed, and of course I think it may have been changed a little bit since then in the Senate, but the chairs of the two committees between the House and the Senate, as well as the leadership members in both chambers, worked on a congressional map. Again, it's substantially like what you see before you today, or at least exactly what it was before it was amended. And of course, that's because it's got to start somewhere. The idea being State House District takes a lot more time to draw. The State Senate map is a bit easier. Several of their districts are drawn by groupings. And so the congressional map would start on the Senate side. And to be clear, as to the expert the House used on the House map, Mr. Springetti, he didn't draw the congressional map that's being presented here today or as it was filed. He did draw some congressional map, but we ultimately abandoned that plan and just decided to work with the Senate chairs because we obviously have to do that anyway to get some agreement between the two chambers. With that being said, Senator Heiss, the gentleman is recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm going to go through the districts, what formed them and how they were formed, and across for the 14 districts, starting Congressional District 1, essentially taking in most of rural northeastern North Carolina, contains 21 whole counties. We have heard in this process it's important to keep the counties forming the belt along the northern border of the state together. We've also heard that the finger counties on the northeast constitute a community of interest. This version of Congressional District 1 keeps those counties together in one district. There is one split county in the district, Granville. There are zero municipalities split by the district. There is one precinct split in Granville for the purpose of equalizing population. This district retains its current incumbent. Second Congressional District is located wholly within Wake County and contains more than 99% of Raleigh's population, contains all of Knightdale and almost all of Wendell, as well as the majority of Garner, Rollsville, Wake Forest. There are two current incumbents in the district. Congressional District 3 is a district based in southeastern North Carolina, contains 10 whole counties and one split county, which is Sampson. The district contains no split municipalities, and the only split VTD is required in order to equalize population. There is one incumbent in this district. The 4th Congressional District is based in the Greater Triangle area. Contains all of Durham and Orange County, as well as portions of Chatham and Wake counties. These counties have similar geography, industry, and proximity to the population base in the region near Durham and Raleigh. The district encompasses the whole municipalities of Apex, Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Durham, Hillsborough, and Pittsburgh. There is one split VTD in Chatham County and one in Wake County. Both were split to equalize population between the districts. The current incumbent is included in the district. Congressional District 5 is based in the northwestern corner of North Carolina and is made up of 9 whole counties. The district always also contains a portion of Guilford County. There are only 2 split municipalities split by the district, Greensboro and Summerfield. Almost 75% of Greensboro's residents are kept together in Congressional District 5. The district is home to one incumbent. 6th Congressional District is made up of Davidson, Davie, Rowan counties, as well as portions of Cabarrus, Forsyth, and Guilford counties. This is a compact district that maintains a district taking in the suburban areas between Charlotte and the Triad that has existed in various versions of congressional maps since the 1990s. The district splits 1 VTD each in Cabarrus, Forsyth, and Guilford counties for the purpose of equalizing population. Congressional District 7 is made up of 5 whole counties in southeastern North Carolina, including Bladen, Brunswick, Columbus, New Hanover, and Pender counties. It also contains portions of Cumberland, Sansom, and Robeson counties. There are only 2 split municipalities in the district, Fayetteville and Lumberton. This district contains 3 split VTDs, 1 divided in each county. The district contains 1 incumbent. The 8th Congressional District is made up of 6 whole counties and parts of 3 other counties, Cabarrus, Mecklenburg, and Robeson. There is 1 split VTD in Cabarrus County, 4 in Mecklenburg, and 1 in Robeson County. Congressional District 9 is situated in the center of the state, contains 4 whole counties, and also includes portions of Chatham, Cumberland, and Guilford counties. 1 VTD is split in each of these counties for the purpose of equalizing population. The current incumbent lives in the district. The 10th Congressional District is made up of 4 whole counties, as well as part of Forsyth counties. It is a compact district which connects the suburbs outside of Charlotte's to the areas around Winston-Salem. It splits no municipalities and splits 1 VTD in Forsyth County for the purpose of equalizing population. The current Speaker Pro Tem of the U.S. House lives in this district. Congressional District 11 is a western North Carolina district, takes in most of the mountain counties and westernmost tip of the state, contains 15 whole counties and splits 1 VTD in Polk County to equalize population. There are no municipalities split by the district. There is 1 incumbent in the district. The 12th Congressional District is a Charlotte district. Charlotte's population is too large for 1 congressional district, so it must be split. 95% of the district is made up of Charlotte, and 81% of the city is in the congressional district. VTDs are split only to equalize population and ensure that there are no other municipalities in the district. Congressional District 13 is made up of the suburban and exurban counties surrounding the Triangle area, and Wake County is made up of 6 whole counties, as well as most of Granville County. The district also contains the unincorporated areas in Wake County, north and southeast of Raleigh. There is 1 VTD split in Granville County to equalize population, and 5 DTDs split along the eastern border of Wake County in order to avoid a double traversal of the county line. This district will be an open district with no incumbent. And finally, the 14th Congressional District is made up of 4 whole counties and the portion of Mecklenburg that contains the municipalities and towns west and north of Charlotte, as well as a portion of Polk County. The VTDs are split only to equalize population. There is no incumbent in the district. Going through our criteria, all 14 of these districts are drawn to 0 deviation or to 1 person less than the ideal. There is no point contiguity used within this map. The map divides only 11 counties. There are districts wholly within Mecklenburg and Wake County, which are the only 2 counties of sufficient size to contain a congressional district. Racial data was not used in the drafting of this map. There are just 20 total of 20 split VTDs in the map, and all the districts are compact. Member resident was considered in drawing these maps. County lines, VTDs, and municipality boundaries were considered when possible to form the districts that do not split existing political subdivisions.
Members, is there discussion or debate on the bill? Representative Harrison, ladies recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Hayes. So several questions, if I could be recognized and save you time.
Ladies recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you. So I am I'm looking at the criteria, and I'm just curious about, you continue to mention compactness. Yeah, lots of these districts don't look very compact to me, but I've just wondered, did you use the RIOC Polsby-Popper score, or was it just a visual compactness assessment?
So both of those scores are utilized and are part of the stat pack that has been posted available with the maps.
Thank you. I'm looking, so another sort of general question I have is, did you consider drawing any VRA districts?
So as I said earlier, these maps were drawn without the consideration of racial data. That's coming in. We have, in the Citicide, we asked multiple times for any groups that were considering meeting the Jingles criteria, and others had data they would like to submit. We did receive from one outside group some information. The chairs made the determination that nothing in the data we saw required the additional drawing of those maps, specifically on the basis of race. And we have, after drawing these maps, staff has applied a stat pack that will show the BVAP percentages of each of the districts that are applied.
Could you tell me specifically, does District 1, does the BVAP population drop from the current district?
I believe there is a small change in the BVAP population, yes.
Thank you. I'm really not sure how we comply with the VRA when we don't do our own racially polarized voting analysis. But on the on these districts, I'm from Greensboro. All we heard in 2021 was how the triad wanted to be kept whole. Guilford County wanted to be kept whole. The triad wanted to be kept whole. There was this symmetry that came with Greensboro, High Point, Winston-Salem. And that was accomplished in the map that the special masters drew. But this, once again, goes back to look similar to the 2021 map that was struck down that has downtown Greensboro connected to the Tennessee border. And I'm just curious about your thought process there.
I guess to start with the first question you state, I believe very strongly that it is possible both to comply with the Voting Rights Act and avoid violations of the 14th Amendment by drawing districts on the basis of race that's coming in, and believe that we have done so in this map. One of our provisions in the state constitution is to keep counties whole, and we have done this keeping 89 of the 100 counties whole. Dividing a county fewer times, if we had divided Wake County into only once, or we had divided Mecklenburg, meant that other counties within the state would have been divided, and our total number of counties divided within the state would have been less. That applies to Mecklenburg, Guilford, and Wake counties that's coming in. I personally believe that the more representation your area has in Congress, the more advantageous that would be to your area or district, but whole counties are our constitutional provision.
Follow-up. I appreciate that. I just, diving into Milligan and the case law on this, it does seem like we need to prioritize complying with the Voting Rights Act before we draw the other maps, and that might supersede the need to keep counties whole. But we did manage to draw a map, or there was a map that was drawn in the 2022 election that kept Guilford whole, no splits at all, and took in a big chunk of Forsyth that worked pretty well for the voters, and they've appreciated having that representative. I wanted to ask similarly on the Sandhills. One thing I remember, because I attended most of those public hearings in 2021, and also read it in the public comments this time, about a strong desire to keep the Sandhills together, and this looks like it does not. Could you speak to that?
The Sandhills themselves and how they're divided. We made some considerations for military bases and others, but we did what we could in balancing the criteria that exist across, from keeping counties whole, keeping districts compact, as well as political considerations, which are now part of this, and this is the result of those maps more than any particular semi-identified community of interest.
Is Fayetteville whole in this? Is Fayetteville kept whole?
I believe the answer to that is no. I'll have staff verify that.
The chair will recognize staff, probably Ms. Churchill. Erica Churchill is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The city of Fayetteville is split between districts 7 and 9. The total population of Fayetteville is 2,8501 people according to the 2020 census. 79,356 of those are assigned to district 7, and 129,145 are assigned to district 9.
Representative Harris.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope these aren't seeming hostile. I'm just asking questions. So I'm looking at the criteria and that you all adopted, and I'm trying to figure out. So I don't see a preference on VTDs. I don't see respect for existing political subdivisions. Okay, so county lines, VTDs, and municipal boundaries may be considered, but seriously, we've got some cities here, significant cities that are getting split. I'm just wondering how you prioritize which was more important on what you'd split.
Okay. So I do think it is important that I clarify that there are not adopted criteria that was coming in. These are the criteria from the chairs that they utilized to drop the map. This is not a committee process that was adopted and put forward. We and the criteria that you have does not have a prioritization of those lists. This is a balancing act in which we look at all of those criteria and try to meet them congruently as well as possible.
I appreciate that, and I guess I don't want to belabor these points, but I do feel like folks have expressed a strong desire to create maps that recognize the importance of keeping certain communities whole, and this does seem to fail on that. And we heard a lot from the public, really strong comments from those in the triad. Can I ask about 13? Because that just looks kind of crazy, and I would not describe that as being compact at all. Do you mind sort of talking a little bit about the logic on that map, that district, please?
So, this is a district created predominantly as of maintaining a full congressional district within Wake County. That the surrounding that congressional district, one of the traditional redistricting principles is avoiding what is called a double traversal, in which you cross a line in two separate places and leave a separation in between it. So it is through Wake County, it is garnered in such a way that that would not be an illegal draw for a double traversal, but it combines those counties around there. This is quite literally made up of a district that is the surrounding area around Wake County.
Thank you. And I guess a final question when you're thinking about this map drawing, because I'm just looking at Greensboro again. As I said, downtown going out to Tennessee and the Virginia border would make sense. But then part of it going down into the Charlotte suburbs, and then part of it going down into the Sand Hills. And I'm just flummoxed about why this makes sense. I know folks back home are not going to be super happy, and I guess you've explained that you followed the criteria that y'all have tried to establish, but I can't really find the other rationale for this. I mean, I heard you say that we're divided into three different congressional districts. To be happy, do we have three people to complain to or ask favors of? But really, doesn't make any sense to me, and I really appreciate the work that's gone into it, but I am very disappointed. Thank you.
Not sure I have a question, but I would assume that people with other criteria or other things would draw different maps.
Further discussion or debate. Representative Hawkins, gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. The partisan lean of this proposed map, is it 10-3-1? Is that sort of the way that it shakes out?
I don't deny it's been characterized in that manner. I will say that the stat pack provides the statewide races, all the statewide races for 2020 and 2022, and how each of those results apply to each district.
I think it's a good follow-up.
Representative Hawkins, gentleman's recognized.
I'll ask it another way. If I put Robert Reeves in each of these districts, would he have an opportunity to win?
I think that would depend very strongly on the quality of the candidate he was in that district and how he related to those voters.
I'd say that he's a pretty quality candidate, but I use that as an example, that you have a quality candidate that's a high-level public servant here in the General Assembly, and he should then have every opportunity to win in any district that's put forth. And if he couldn't do it, then God bless anybody else who would. And so that sort of just characterizes just the potential for people not being able to elect good folks no matter who they are.
I would suspect that if could he sway 8% of the voters, he could win all 14 congressional districts.
Further discussion. Representative Jones, gentleman's recognized.
Be recognized for a series of questions that I may.
Gentleman's recognized for a series of questions.
Senator Hayes, I guess my first set of questions deals with who actually drew the map. I mean, who actually cut this thing up. Was this Mr. I keep messing his name up. Singretti, is that the guy who did it?
Simple answer to that is no. That's what coming in. I have met the individual in the house, but the actual drawing time of this done was by myself and Senator Daniels. We had input from the House and others, but in the room that it occurred, there are logs for every person that was in the room as all changes to the map were made.
So it was you and Senator Daniels?
Yes. Who is co-chair, one of the co-chairs in the Senate.
Anybody from the House?
So we consulted with the House at multiple iterations of the map and others, but the actual drawing for what they needed to see or need to change occurred with myself or Senator Daniels in that room.
Okay. Did you gather partisan data to draw up this map?
So as I stated earlier, all of the election results from statewide elections in 2020 and 2022 were part of the data set for all the computers, including those made available to the House and Senate Democrats as well as the House members. And that was a base part of the data system from the moment those computers were set up.
Now, at this moment, as we sit, the 14 seats for North Carolina are split 7-7. Under this map that we're looking at, I gather if the elections go the way the population in the various districts tend to vote, it will go to either 10-3-1 or 11-3. Is that correct?
I have no crystal ball. I'm given no predictions of the future. That's coming in with how candidates will influence or what will change politically. I will say that there is all the data is available on how they've performed on the last 2 years' races, but that pretends like that candidates don't matter and somehow these districts are out there. So I can say that our current House representative is 7 Republicans, 7 Democrats. That's coming in. That does exist. That was produced by an election in the past. But if I could guess how well all elections were performed, the jobs around here would be a whole lot easier.
Well, I appreciate your answer, but let me pursue that just a little bit. Obviously, I understand that. I follow politics pretty closely also. However, it's been highly reported by those who seem to be knowledgeable that this will create a dramatic shift in the congressional representation in North Carolina heavily toward the Republican Party. That stated as a preference, I'm asking you, one of the drawers, and I don't know if you knew what Senator Daniels was thinking, but I'll ask you, Was that part of your objective, to shift the congressional representation in North Carolina from even split to heavily Republican?
I would categorize the last maps drawn by the judges as a resulting in a shift that occurred in this state, not a new foundation that has been recurring. Those maps have expired in their times, and compared to 12, 14, 16, 18, that may be a very different comparison that's out there. Did we consider partisan consideration in each of these districts as we drew them? Absolutely. That's what coming in, and the courts have indicated that that is our authority as a legislative branch, and solely our authority as a legislative branch, both the federal and state courts, to consider the partisan nature of districts when we draw them.
I am aware of that, and I appreciate your candor. Thank you on that. Let me move to something else. I noticed that three counties in the state, and they're large, Mecklenburg, Wake, and Guilford, end up with a tripartite, a three-way split of congressional representation. In any of those three counties, did you try to at least try to make it just two, or did you just think that it had to be three?
Our objective here is to minimize the total number of counties split, to keep as many county whole as possible. I believe that meant multiple divides in counties, and obviously that means in larger counties, because those populations, for example, when I look at Wake and I look at Meck, those two counties at the get-go are larger than a congressional district. They had to be divided before any consideration was out there. The divide portions of those are larger than most of the counties I represent, even currently, this week of it is. So the fact that that occurred in the larger counties of the state for the multiple divides is not surprising to me in any way, and I think makes perfect sense.
Well, isn't it, each congressional district has, what, about 638,000, or something in the 600,000 range, is that correct?
That is, I think they could get a specific number, but we had eight congressional districts that were exactly at that number and six that were one less.
Okay, so what I was thinking, if you had a county that, like Wake, my county, has over a million people, but you certainly could split it in half virtually and just get two congressional districts instead of three. Wouldn't that be a possibility?
If Wake County and its population had exactly divided into two congressional districts, I think a strong case would have been made to have done so. But clearly that is not the case. It would require additional counties to make up those congressional districts.
Okay. Now, someone pointed out there's a large number of city splits around the state. Did you try to reduce that at all, or is it? Someone said it was over 60. Was that? Did I hear that number right? How many city splits were around? Oh, that was House. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Mistake. Okay. Let me move on from that then. We all know from some statements made that partisan gerrymandering is permitted, so there's nothing illegal about it. However, that being said, I guess I want to come back to the congressional shift here. A shift of four seats is pretty dramatic. And so was it your objective to maximize, I wouldn't put it that way, the number of Republican-held congressional seats? Was you and between you and Senator Daniels, was that your objective?
I would clearly say no in maximizing the number of seats. Have seen and produced maps myself that may have performed historically better for greater numbers than these maps. Which would disqualify the concept of maximum. Was it considering these for partisan advantage? Absolutely. That was in our considerations, but that's because it is balanced with other redistricting criteria that exist that we have laid out here. Is a 13-1 map possible? I don't know, but I will say that it is not when considering traditional redistricting criteria.
Now, you alluded to some having some consciousness about the Voters' Rights Act, and do you think what you've drawn up has been done in such a way that it can withstand VRA challenges, given that we all know that over history, a vast percentage of the African-American vote has gone to the Democrats. So given that now you've drawn this up, do you think that what you've drawn up is still going to be looked at as legal under the Voting Rights Act?
I do believe that the maps that we have drawn are compliant with the Voting Rights Act.
And
I do believe that the data we have, after drawing the maps, applied verifies that.
And you're aware of the fact that 40-some North Carolina counties come under the VRA?
I have seen the list of the counties that are applicable under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Yes.
I'm about done. You may not need to respond to this, but I thought I'd throw it out just as part of my question, as part of my concern. Do you think that having a nonpartisan commission established by this body would be a better way of going about this process?
I believe that the concept of drawing districts is given to the state legislature by the U.S. Constitution. I believe it is our duty as elected legislators to draw the congressional maps exclusively for congressional maps. The only other body given that authority is Congress itself under the U.S. Constitution. So even the people that utilize outside organizations, it is this body whose responsibility it is to draw these districts.
So I guess your answer would be no. You would think a nonpartisan commission established by this body would not be the best way or the legal way to do it.
I believe it would be us delineating our duties given under the Constitution.
Okay. Those are all of my questions.
Is there further discussion or debate on the bill? Okay, members, so we're about to vote, Representative Harrison. You got just a second, though. We'll do a roll call vote on this one if there's no further discussion or debate. So seeing none, Representative Dixon moves for a favorable report. All those who are in favor will vote aye, and all those who are opposed will vote no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Brockman?
No.
Representative Brockman, no. Representative Carney?
No.
Representative Carney, no. Representative Dixon?
Aye.
Representative Dixon, aye. Representative Fontenot?
Aye.
Representative Fontenot, aye.
Aye.
Representative Hardister? Representative Hardister? Representative Harrison?
No.
Representative Harrison, no. Representative Hastings?
Aye.
Representative Hastings, aye. Representative Hawkins? Representative Hawkins, no. Representative Humphrey? Representative Humphrey? Representative Abe Jones?
No.
Representative Abe Jones, no. Representative Brendan Jones? Representative Brendan Jones? Representative Lowry?
Aye.
Representative Lowry, aye. Representative Mills?
Aye.
Representative Mills, aye. Representative Reeves?
No.
Representative Reeves, no. Representative Warren?
Aye.
Representative Warren, aye. Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bell, aye. Representative Sain?
Aye.
Representative Sain, aye. Representative Stevens?
Aye.
Representative Stevens, aye. Representative Torbit?
Aye.
Representative Torbit, aye. Representative Hall?
Aye.
Representative Hall, aye.
Members, with 11 having voted in the affirmative and 6 in the negative, the motion for a favorable report passes. Members, stay with us for just a second. The chair was informed that there was a proposed amendment to the first bill we did dealing with some of the local county commissions, and so the chair needs to take a look at that, and we'd like to try to do that in this committee. So that we're not further delayed tomorrow, because an amendment could change the bill title, and thus it wouldn't be able to be heard on the House floor tomorrow. So just don't leave yet. I don't expect this to be very long. Just hang tight. You know, we're going to go at ease, but I wouldn't leave the room. Chair's going to try to get us back in here as quickly as we possibly can. Members, that'll be it for today's business for the House Redistricting Committee. If you're on the House Rules Committee, congratulations. You get to stay here a little longer, and you can meet the new chair, same as the old chair from this committee. And so what we were working on, so that members know, there's an amendment dealing with some another local issue, but the timing of the two chambers tomorrow is such that if we amended the local bill that's before us here today, it may be that the Senate's already out of session by the time we get it passed out of the House tomorrow, which if we change it in the House, it's got to have a concurrence vote in the Senate. So we're, the chair's spoken to the interested members, and we're going to try to find some other vehicle potentially for that tomorrow. Members, with that being said, there's no further business before this committee, and if you're in rules, hang tight. We're going to start as soon as staff can possibly get all these things switched around. Meeting is adjourned.